So, we're at the Feast of Booths. And just to recap, to help us get back into the context of that feast, it commemorated the 40 years, remember, the 40 years that God sustained his covenant people, Israel, in the wilderness by his mighty power. He had plundered the Egyptians and gave their gold and goods to his own people. He gave them daily food and water in the desert, sometimes quails to eat. He did not just leave them to wander aimlessly around in the wilderness, but he guided them every step of the way by that magnificent pillar of fire and smoke, the Shekinah glory as we know it. We read of that in Exodus chapter 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from them before the people. Now, so the Jews remembered and they celebrated the Shekinah glory during the Feast of Booths, which that feast was also for that reason called the Festival of Light. That was a great name for it, the Festival of Light. During the day, the light of the sun reflected off of the brightly mirrored gold that was polished there on the temple walls, reflecting that brilliant light. And it was never dark during the feast and the festival. In the evening and into the nighttime hours, there was lit a very, very large lamp, almost gigantic, like a giant menorah with branches. Now, the regular temple menorah had seven branches or candles, but this festival lamp had four massive branched oil lanterns. And that great lamp that was set aside for that feast day had a nickname, if you will. It was called the Light of the World. It was the light of the world because the light of the temple was so bright during the feast at night that the glow of the entire area around the temple as well could be seen from miles away. And so this festival of light was not incidental, but it was an important and integral part of the Feast of Booths. Remembering the glory of God as he was present with them in the pillar of light and fire in the wilderness. And that's the context of the feast. Remember, during which, back in chapter 7, the temple officers had said, "No one ever spoke like this man." And as we noted last week, indeed, the words of Christ outshone every other word ever spoken by any man, any prophet, priest, king, or rabbi. Not only his words, of course, but the light of his very presence outshines every shadow, every type, prophecy in the Bible, of the Old Testament feasts, the sacrifices. And now, here we are, near the end of the Festival of Light. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Shivers go down my spine when I think of it. Could he have made any more a direct claim to being the divine Son of God than with those words? He as much as said that he and that pillar of fire and light, He and that manifest presence of God with his people, he and the Shekinah glory were essentially one and the same. Jesus was the manifest presence of God with his people. This was not the first that we read of something like that in the Gospel of John, for we read also that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Friends, there is no other life. There's no other light but the light of the world, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the world needs the light of life. Just as the earth needs the light, needs the heat of the sun in the sky, it gives life to every creature. Without that sun, there's only cold, darkness, and death. And so does Christ, the Son of God, give light and life, apart from whom there is only darkness and death. We recall now from John chapter 3, these were the words of John the Baptist speaking of him, said, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Now, for the Jews on that amazing day, that eighth day, the last great day of the feast, there was standing before their eyes the true light of the world. And after that bold declaration, "I am the light of the world," he continued saying, "Whoever follows me," just like Israel followed the light in the wilderness, "whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, with these words, there's implied a parting of the ways. Two distinct paths of life in these words of Jesus. There are those who follow him, and there are those who do not. In the beginning, even in Genesis chapter 1, God created the light. He separated the light from the darkness. And now, Christ, the true light, having appeared, now the sons of light come to the light. The sons of darkness do not come to the light. There's a reason why they don't. And again to chapter 3. "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." Just to build on this a little bit, my friends, It's not enough only to see the light. "I saw the light." That's great, but you must follow it. There's throughout the New Testament exhortations, commands in reference to faith in Christ. If you would have eternal life in him, you must respond to these commands and exhortations. You must do something. Jesus is the bread of heaven. That's good. But you must feed upon him. He offers living water. You must ask him for it and drink it. He is the light of the world. Again, like that Shekinah glory in the wilderness that led the people who followed after. You must also follow after him. Else that light passes you by. And you remain unmoved. And you remain in darkness. The light of the world has passed by many who would not follow. Jesus had said in the feast back in chapter 7, verse 33, I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. He would be gone. And those who just continued on in their unbelief didn't even notice. But they were plunged once again into darkness, and they would never see the light of the world again. Friend, is it possible that you, perhaps, are continuing in darkness, some degree of unbelief? I mean, you can see the brightness of the sun in the sky, not so bright as it is on a nice day. But you know that this light will soon bring springtime, buds, and flowers. But for some folks, it's hard to understand, it's hard to believe, or even so much as to care that there's another light besides that. Another light that's brighter, a light that's more life-giving, a light to which some people are completely blind, and they're in darkness. And oh, such darkness that is, the blindness of sin, the blindness of the love of sin, which the Bible defines as spiritual darkness. Well, to follow Christ means first to believe in him, to trust in him and his precious shed blood to take away your sins, to leave the darkness behind, forsaking your sins and your sinful habits, and to live your life in the light, to live in a way that's pleasing to him and to your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And along with Jesus' exhortation to follow, then there was a promise given. A promise that is for whomever will take it. Whoever follows me, Jesus said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, of course, that only makes sense. If you're going to walk in the light, you're not going to be walking in darkness. But it's not only that. You will have, Jesus said, you will have the light of life. Even here, there's a big difference in there being light around you, even spiritual light. Having light around you that you may see and experience in some way, and having the light as your own possession within you to live by it. R.C. Sproul used to say that, in his opinion, the biggest problem in the church today is so many who profess Christ and profess faith in him, but who do not possess him. They profess him, but don't possess him, to have him as their own Savior and Lord. Well, the light of life can really be all around you as it's preached, like today in the gospel, as it's displayed as it was just last Sunday in the sacraments and other lessons, Sunday school lessons and so forth of the church. And many people do enjoy the benefits of this outer shining, if you will, of the light of Christ. It can be like, putting it in a positive spin, I suppose. It could rather be like sitting indoors and looking out the window on a prettier day than today. But looking out the window and enjoy the light of a bright and sunny day. But you don't go out and enjoy it. but I could put it a little bit more negatively. Can you imagine? I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes, just use your imagination. Of being in a place of utter and cold darkness. Darker than if you did close your eyes and cover your hands. So dark that you couldn't see your hands in front of your face. Have you ever been in a place like that? Can you imagine being stuck there and in a situation like that? It would be easy to feel lost, to feel hopeless, maybe even a creeping sense of despair. But what if, while you were in this darkness, you heard a voice? You saw a shining light. This way, come this way. It leads to light and life. Wouldn't your heart rejoice? Wouldn't you be thrilled, excited? Follow the voice, follow the light, and live. Yeah, that's, I think, a pretty expected reaction. But imagine someone who would just shuffle along, bored, following the light with only the slightest interest, no enthusiasm. Yeah, okay, I'm coming. I think you'd agree in that kind of a circumstance there'd be something not quite right with that picture. And yet there's many folks just like that who are sitting in church pews all over the world this morning. Many more who should be in church but are not. People who show only the slightest interest in Christ. I'll give them a tip of the hat on Sunday mornings. But with little or no enthusiasm in following him. It's enough for them only to see the light. Yeah, know that it's there just in case they need it. But they're much more interested and much more excited about the things of the world. I'm sure you can think of a major thing of the world that's going to be broadcast on television this very afternoon and evening. And by the way, folks, mea culpa. But those who have the light, they possess it in their hearts. They follow Christ and do not walk in darkness. Now, what is this light? How do we experience it? Well, it is an inward illumination by the Spirit of Christ. And it guides you through your life day by day. And no matter how dark the surroundings may be, no matter how dark the circumstances may be, even as the Shekinah glory guided Israel through darkness and the wilderness and all the dangers that were there, brought them into the promised land. People that follow with love, as we saw in the law this morning, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and enthusiasm for Christ, energy, joy. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the revelation of God to sinners who are in darkness, whether they can see it or not, whether they know it or not. He is salvation. He is life, eternal life. Come to him, follow him, and you will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's pray. Our precious God and Heavenly Father, who throughout the course of history, from beginning even to this very moment, you have provided for thyself a people, and you have provided for the people yourself in your mighty acts of guidance and preservation, light, trials. And yet, Father, you bring them through every one of them because it is your purpose to do so, that you may be glorified and praised and thanked and that every day of our lives should be rejoicing in the greatness of what you have done and are doing and will do yet. For this journey is not over for us. It's not even over for those who have departed ahead of us. There is still so much more wonderful things to come. So, Lord God, we pray that we would look upon Christ Jesus, who is the whole and the sum of it, who died and rose again for our sakes, that he should be for us the light of life, the light of the world. We thank you for Christ and all that is in him, that we find for ourselves an eternal life. And in his name we pray. Amen. All right, so with that, let us turn to number 380. It's pretty amazing, this grace we have in Christ. Let's stand and sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
So that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.